This week's episode of Keeping It 99 is brought to you by Assassin Tattoo Studios at 1947 West Market Street in Akron, Ohio. Assassin Tattoo Studios is Akron's number one location for great body art. They offer the complete tattoo experience. Their artists are well-versed in all styles of tattooing, from traditional to photorealism. They also specialize in covering up that crappy tattoo that you got from somewhere else or bringing to life an existing tattoo. Something you want to brighten up, make even cooler, have it pop, you go to Assassin Tattoos. You're always going to be welcome into a friendly, clean environment, and Assassin Tattoo Studios is a single-use, all-disposable shop. Walk-ins and appointments are welcome, so go ahead and drive on down to 1947 West Market Street in Akron, Ohio, or call 330-983-4135. Once again, that's 330-983-4135. Assassin Tattoo Studios. Tell them Keeping It 99 sent you.
I can't kill me. It makes no sense. Anybody can kill you. You can slip and fall in a banana peel. You can get in a car wreck. You can fall off a bridge.
You can have an aneurysm on the toilet. You never know.
Kicked out the door, not forgot to the ground. Step is that quick, no need to make a sound. Grab his bat. Gonna crush some skulls with the blood on my hands. Life's never dull. Throw the bat at the man that's out the hall. Script right to him. He gets headed to the wall. Pick up a shotgun, it's time to get loud. Shoot off around. Here comes the crowd. Duck it in the side room, let them all rush in. Pile of bodies at the door. Disgusting, no time to waste. Adding more bloodshed. Won't stop going till everybody is dead. No idea why the kitchen has a good time. The shit of red looks pretty good on your red screen crawl. Makes no difference. The way I end your life is just brilliant.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Doesn't matter what gun I use, I'm gonna kill you. Doesn't matter.
Welcome to Keeping It 99. Welcome to Keeping It 99. Your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world, heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. I have the opening down so much. I'm like the Micro Machine guy.
Yeah, you were spinning out pretty fast then.
I'm like, Tech 9? My name is Eagle, and I am not Tech 9. And I am joined by the one, the only, our favorite person in the world, Rubber City Redbeard.
Yeah, in the local world.
Yeah, in the local.
The local.
In the world. Local.
Within a 50 to 100 foot radius.
Yeah, there's like a good 1,000 people who are like, he's my best friend.
He's so awesome. I was hanging out with Grant today. It was super. He made fun of my band.
That probably happened.
That probably happened.
He's just joking. It's like, no, I'm not fucking joking. I'm not fucking joking at all.
They know when I'm serious because I tell them, like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. You guys are fucking awful. What are you doing?
Have you ever advised somebody to leave, like, to leave their band because they were the talent? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, you need to separate from those four?
Not necessarily because they were the talent, but because they didn't, they weren't personal, like their persona, their, who they are as a person. They weren't fit for that band.
So yeah.
I was like, you should probably escape. But we told the same person that at Annabelle.
You and I did. Yeah, and then they left their band like less than a week later. Yeah. I felt bad.
I didn't.
I felt bad.
He was making that decision already. I promise.
We just put him over the top. Maybe I shouldn't have come with him and be like, so when are you going to leave that fucking band? Like, you're like way good. And they're like,
eh. Probably.
I think that threw him off. That was like a weird way to introduce myself to a person, by the way. I've never met this guy before that. That was a very
He was probably like, wow, that's... Jesus. Hi, my name's Eagle. You should probably leave your band.
I just came out here to tell you that.
What?
So, it's been a while since we hung out last. I don't know.
Well,
has there
like
been
a week and a half this time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it hasn't been that long.
Not like, too
we've
long.
We've had some stretches. Three weeks. A month.
Right.
Yeah, shit happens.
But we try to make it as close to possible as we can, and we're here.
Yeah.
We're here, and we got a banger of an episode, I believe, because... Was there news?
Plenty of stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
Was there news in the rock and roll heavy metal world?
Something about depression. People being depressed.
I wrote a song about depression once. It was pretty good.
You did. I listened to it the other day. like a week ago on the way home from work.
Now, you suffer
everybody always... was like, is this positive attitude? Yes.
Yeah.
Chester Bennington, lead vocalist of Linkin Park, age 41, committed suicide recently. And what a polarizing reaction that he's gotten, because I've seen more people post things up online this week saying, like, stop being dicks, guys. Yeah. Don't be dicks, guys. Then I have actually seen people being dicks in Gwar. A lot of people are chastising Gwar. Don't. If you're offended by Gwar saying anything ever, who are you?
Yeah.
What kind of person are you?
Do you even know what the fuck Gwar is?
Do you know what Gwar is?
Yeah. Who is it that was like, we don't need Gwar's sarcasm right now? I think it was the guitar player from Born of Osiris.
I guess you're a cunt, dude.
And he said that they had kicked him off the tour because he had a broken foot, and they just kicked that band off tour. Gwar did. They kicked him off the tour with Gwar.
Because they had a broken foot?
Yeah.
Get your foot fixed.
He was like, I was going to come back and finish the tour, and they wouldn't let me. You know, they kicked us off the tour or whatever. And I'm like, so you have kind of a personal beef over that with Gwar, and that's why you're pissed off about what Gwar's saying, because nobody should fucking take what Gwar says seriously.
Ever.
Like, if Beefcake the Almighty is fucking talking shit, like... You know.
Right.
What exactly did Gwar say? Because it wasn't even that fucking bad.
It wasn't even that bad. They were like, suicide's no joke, but Linkin Park is.
Yeah, like, he didn't say shit about Chester, dude.
No.
Or suicide.
No.
He said Linkin Park was a shitty band.
Right.
Which a lot of you have said Linkin Park is a shitty band. You fuck some of you people that are fucking getting all up in arms over this fucking suicide shit. You yourself have fucking dogged the shit out of Linkin Park over the years. You fucking two-faced bastards.
One of my favorite examples is worldwide famous Cleveland artist Derek Hess. He posted up a heartfelt thing, because Derek Hess, obviously through his beautiful art, you can tell that he's battled depression. There's this wonderful documentary out on him right now. He put up a post about it where he had to open up with the line, I'm not the biggest fan, but I feel bad for the guy and his family. And I'm like, I love that Derek Hess had to let you know. He could have deleted that line. He didn't have to say, I don't like Linkin Park's music, but instead he came out going, look, real quick, I don't want you guys to think I listen to that bullshit, fucking stupid cornball bullshit music. Right. I listen to good music like Clutch and Crowbar. My name's Derek. But...
Are you making fun of Derek Hess?
Poor guys. No!
Why'd you like broke into some making fun of Derek Hess' voice?
I'm sorry, Derek Hess. I love your art. I love your shit. I love your concert posters, everything you stand for. But he had to let us know, like, I don't listen to that dumb shit.
Plenty of people say that shit.
Like, I make real art with my depression.
I say that shit all the time. It ain't my cup of tea. I don't listen to it. But.
Yeah.
I say that shit all the time.
That's my favorite, though. It's just like, does anybody need to know that
I'm going to nickelback myself again. Was Linkin Park a bad band? No, they're not. They were a good band, man. And they were like a band that touched on many levels, right? Like young people, old people, crossed over to the hip hop fucking shit.
Right.
The pop world, you know what I mean? They sucked all the little fucking girls in. And like they were
huge.
They sucked everybody in. They had
great when new metal hit.
Right.
They were like, boom, like top three new metal bands in the world.
But so like, you know, everybody hates the new Linkin Park shit, and that's because it's not.
It's garbage.
It's pop music.
It's terrible.
It's pop music. Switch that shit over to the pop world.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's fine. It sounds exactly how it should. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you were to listen to that at a Taylor Swift show, like if it wasn't Linkin Park, if it was a side project and you didn't know any of the dudes from Linkin Park were in it, and they opened up for Taylor Swift, it would fit perfectly. Like, it's just a very poppy thing that they were doing, and nobody liked it.
No.
Nobody liked it. You were just doing the wrong thing. Like, Chester was a good singer, but he was a pop singer. He's always been a pop singer, even back in the day with Linkin Park.
And yes!
Like, he's just a pop singer, man. It sucks.
It does.
With the whole suicide thing.
We were talking about how it's a shame that no matter what happens in the future, his story is always going to be that of you were in a band that was at the top of your game for well over a decade. Well, I mean, going into 15 years now, Linkin Park has been around and successful.
this year, they've been given a lot of heat from their fans to the point to where a couple months ago, Chester Bennington was saying, if you're not down with this new shit,
fuck you.
Fuck you. Don't listen to our old shit. To which Corey Taylor had to be like, bro, don't dog your fans. Yeah. You should be lucky that you've had fans this long. I know you want everybody to embrace the evolution of your band, but like sometimes it's not going to happen. Just do you. Don't worry about them. But Chester Bennington's like, no, get the fuck out of here. Now, sure, he's probably battling whatever the fuck it was, whatever demons, as they say in pro wrestling, that right. he was battling at the time. But his story is going to be that like they made a pop music and his fans, his loyal fans, I'm talking thousands of these people, just bashed this dude on the internet. Up for months leading up into his suicide. So when people are telling the Chester Bennington story, it's going to have to end with, well, then they made some shitty pop music, his fans hated it, and then he died.
Yeah,
that's how, because yeah. that's what
they wrote the worst album they've ever had, and nobody liked it, and he killed himself.
Maybe ego could have played into that. Maybe his feelings couldn't have taken it. And that's a serious thing when you're getting that much backlash from people that you are like, I make this for you, and you hate what I made for you.
It's not my place to say why they do what they do.
No, I'm not.
Why get up in arms over people's opinions over suicide? Everybody's going to have a different opinion.
Everybody,
you know,
yeah.
Fucking, you're coward. It was a coward way out.
You're angry. And, yeah, because you're angry.
And, you know, it's selfish and whatever, man. Like, people, you can't say it's the easy way out. You can't say it's the cowardly way out. The amount of balls that it takes to fucking take your own life, that's huge. You're at a spot in your life that you've never been before because mm-hmm. that's a crazy thing to do. That's like the worst thing that could possibly happen is that you actually just take your own life. Yeah. That you're at a point that you're ready to go, mm-hmm. you know? So it's not a coward thing. But this is a dude who had a beautiful family and a bunch of awesome kids. But not only that, like, vehemently spoke out against suicide, right? That if you're depressed, turn to somebody.
Call your mom.
There's always somebody there. There's always somebody to talk to. So you're a spokesperson and a role model for a generation of young people who all have issues one way or the other that they're trying to fucking work out because we all did growing up and shit. Like, I'm sure you have. I've fucking felt like killing myself, you know, plenty of times. But it's not like you want to die. You just want the things to stop. You want things to get better. You're not doing it because you want to die. You just want the bad things to stop.
Yeah.
Right? Whether they're in your head or they're in your life. You just want shit to be okay. So to tell a bunch of fucking young kids that there's hope and there's always somebody to talk to and you have to talk to somebody and turn to somebody and this and that, that it's not the end of the world and you can talk to, and then you fucking kill yourself, you just fucking showed all of those kids that not even you had fucking somebody to talk to.
Right.
That not even you had enough hope to fucking continue on. So you just damaged a bunch of fucking people. As far as I'm concerned, you know what I mean? Like, if you're somebody's role model, especially against depression, and they've listened to your music, which is depressing as shit, made it sound good, but, like, you showed them that you didn't even have anybody, dude. And you had plenty of fucking people. And I get it, that even when you have people in your life, sometimes you don't, like, you still are like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, I'm so fucking depressed that I just don't want to talk to people.
Yeah.
You know? So, that's what pisses me off. Like, you killed yourself. You had your reasons, I guess. But, like, it's kind of shitty that you fucking were a spokesperson against it.
Yeah.
And gave people hope, kids hope. And then took it away from him.
Yeah, and when all was said and done, your whole message was what? In the end, it doesn't even matter?
Boo! Not cool!
And by the way, if you're a Linkin Park fan, you're in your 20s. You're in your 20s because I grew up on that shit. I've seen a lot of that, too. It's like, I grew up on that. Linkin Park was a band that, like, they grew up on and got them into...
My nephews, dude. My nephews were huge fans when they were 8, 9, and 10.
My sister was diehard into Linkin Park when they first came out. Like, she was just like, Linkin Park this, Linkin Park that. And I'm like, and I'm that guy who's just like, Slayer.
But they were good because they could sing and they were kind of heavy and they were rappy. You know
I remember Mike Shinoda going, the thing that separates Linkin Park from the other bands is like, we got a dude who's a singer and a guy who's a rapper. I'm just like, J-Man and Jeffrey Nothing, motherfucker.
Yeah, there was plenty of acts that happened.
There was tons of acts.
You were just the ones that they chose to fucking be on top.
Shut up, Rick.
That's good advice, though. Don't try to talk over me if I'm talking to you. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
You know? Shut up, I'm talking to you.
Shut up.
It's rude.
Go away.
Fucking rude.
Sorry.
So if anything, fucking, they're a polite band.
Yeah.
You know?
Their first album should have been called Manners.
Oh, shoot.
So rest in peace, Chester Bennington.
It sucks. I feel bad for your kids. It sucks that you lost your life. I don't know if your ex-wives like you, because they're exes. I'm sure they do.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they fucking, they got some love for you. They had your babies. Spit out some puppies for you. You know, it sucks. I feel bad for all of you. All of you.
I say we break up the monotony a little bit. Let's bring things up on the up, man.
Yeah. It's been a little fucking depressing.
Been a little bit
as
depressing
of lately, and we want to kind of bring you up a little bit.
Man.
We know a lot of people that work very hard. A lot of us do. Just endless hours, and all we're looking for is just a fucking good time.
Just a good time, man. So let's play a mashup that expresses that wholeheartedly, 100%.
If you're feeling down, keep your fucking chin up.
And then listen to this song pretty much every day. You can go to keepingit99.bandcamp.com. If you like what you hear, you can download. We have two albums up on Keeping It 99.
We got mad mashups.
And they're free. You don't even have to do that. Like, you can give us a dollar if you want, but we'll make you feel bad. We're like, no, it's just a straight up free download. You can download our mashups. You can download the jingles, all made by our in-house man.
Our in-house genius.
Fucking genius. He is a genius. He made that. He made the Shakira Danzig mashup.
I think he's an android.
Right?
I don't believe he's human.
We're still waiting for the DNA results on that one.
I haven't got to cut him in half with a katana sword yet.
Well, we're going to hit you with the mashup, and we'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to this week's commercial for I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
And I'm Tony.
Join us every week as we kick off the show with entertainment news, then we dive into Genre 5, which is a list of five of our most loved or hated genres, actors, things in movies, television, comics, or video games. I get it, not all of that is considered a genre, but get off my ass. It's hard to think of different subgenres every week, so yes, we take liberties with the name. Then fall down the rabbit hole that is Test of Tony, in which Tony, and sometimes me if I have the gumption to partake, gets to relive a movie from his past, and with his old sage-like eyes, tells me if it stands the test of time and passes the test of Tony. And to cap off this wild ride of two dickheads giving their opinions on movies, we head into Movie of the Week, where our heroes both watch the same movie and discuss it. Honestly, it's more like a book club. Either way, check us out at lousyweathermedia.com, and now enjoy the show. And as always, go burn books.
That whole, like, what is with pop music's bullshit message these days where everything's just like, you know what? If you put hard work into stuff, you can achieve your dreams. Here's a bunch of songs about achieving your goals, everybody.
How about we start telling our kids that there's a possibility that you're going to work your fucking balls off 20 years and lose everything.
Yeah.
And it won't be your fault. And you're going to have to watch it all slip away.
And you're going to have to...
nothing that you can do, just butter all over your fingers, and it's just slipping.
And then you're going to have to tell yourself bullshit like, you know what? Life's not about the destination, but about the journey.
Right.
At least I'll have those experiences in my head.
I really believe it's just all about the energy that you put out, and, you know, so I'm just going to have to look at it in a positive direction, and, you know.
You know, I've done some pretty cool things in my life, so...
It's all good. You know, money's not everything. It is. It's a lot.
On to some better news.
Is there?
There is better news, man. What? There was a show that happened a long time ago that we've talked about multiple times on this podcast, being the Northeast Ohio heavy metal podcast that we are. Superjoint Ritual and Devil Driver are coming back to the Agora together.
Yeah!
It says the theater, but
I think we're gonna have to go to the ballroom, guys.
We seen him in the ballroom that time.
Yes,
and that was on my birthday. I think it was on my birthday, or it was the day before my birthday. Either way, it was like I'm pretty sure it was on my birthday though. I think it was October 21st, whatever year it was.
Somebody find out.
It was a great fucking show. The place was packed. It was one of the most violent fucking sets I've ever been a part of. Phil Anselmo was like right there, and that was like the first time in our lives that we were that
like close, like,
tight in with Pantera-esque people, mm-hmm. You know, like, because we were used to seeing them in fucking arenas. That was an arena fucking band. So if you seen Pantera, you got up to 20 feet away from them, but they were like 10 feet above you and, you know, fences and guards. The ballroom wasn't like that. It was like you and them. And it wasn't just, you know, Jimmy Bauer, Hank III, dude. Like, you get to fucking watch Hank III. Hank Williams III. Like, that's a legendary bloodline of human beings when it comes to fucking music. And
right.
You get to sit there and watch this dude fucking shred on bass. Just metal as fuck. Knowing he's country as fuck.
Right. As country as anybody could ever get.
Country man,
we still have the water bottle that Phil Anselmo threw out. He threw a water bottle out. We still have it. It's in a box in the garage, but for a long time we put it up on our mantle, and every once in a while, like, we'd get drunk, we'd be like, let's put a little bit of Jaeger in there in the Phil bottle, like, just hoping that it gave us the
power of Phil.
Yeah, the, you know, scream real well and occasionally say something slightly racist, but like you apologize about it the next morning.
It was the alcohol talking, man.
I'm sorry, man. I was just drinking that badass bottle.
Rose, we was drinking that white wine,
like,
man.
Oh, Mexicans, am I right?
Of white wine. God damn it.
What? They're coming back, man. I'm
and they'll be drinking wine backstage, I guarantee it, because fucking Dez Fafara is just a wine junkie.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is like...
Oh, God.
He's super metal as fuck, especially with Devil Driver. Like, Devil Driver is a good band, but then you see him, and he's like just chilling, pinky out, leg crossed, drinking some wine, you know? Same thing with Sebastian Bach, by the way, wine drinker.
I told the story like a year ago, but there was a, what was it, Sounds of the Underground?
Is that the one that's like over in Australia, right?
What's that?
That's the one that's over in Australia.
Well, they had like a, they had a tour.
Oh, okay.
Like many years ago. It was like Lamb of God, Clutch, who else played? Guar played, Devil Driver.
Oh, okay,
was
I kind of remember that tour.
Tons of great bands. This was right before, it was like a week before my oldest son was born. And I went to, they had like the giant trailers that were the urinals.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, had to go take a piss, walking outside of the thing, walking down the steps, turn around, and I bumped into Dez Fafara.
Did you knock him over?
No, but he went back like 3 feet. Like, he legit went back like 3 feet, like, boom. Like, it was a buck. It was a buck, and he goes back, and he's got a drink in his hand, and he looks at me. He looks at me, and he gives me the devil horns, like, hey, that was a good bump. Like, good bump. But he's like, that's all right, man. And I'm like, holy shit, you're dead.
Did you hug him? Did you give him a hug? Like, I'm sorry.
No, I devil horned him back. I devil horned him back.
Nice.
And I was like, kick ass, have a kick ass set, man. Shit. It's like, almost didn't recognize him without the fishnets at the time. Because, you know, it was still like fresh from the fishnets and the that weird mix. You remember Cold Chamber was like the butt baby of Korn and Manson?
Oh, yeah. That was that, but
big truck.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. They came out right at the right
time. That first album was fun because
I loved it.
Right? Because it was just chunky, heavy riffs, basic as fuck. And, you know, that's what everybody wanted. They just wanted something to fucking pit to.
Dude, yeah. I mean, beginning to end, like that record, it was great. It felt dark. It felt eerie. It felt spooky. It would scare the shit out of your mom. The album cover alone was scary. Like the guy in the ice cream truck.
Big Truck is always going to be one of my favorite tunes.
Big Truck!
What's some of the other songs on that one? Loco was a big one. Yeah. That.
Me Loco! Me Loco!
And they also had the perfect formula, too, which was the female bass player stolen from White Zombie. Not the girl herself, but the idea.
Right. White Zombie's gone. And they were like, there ain't no girl bass players. Boom! Now we got one. And then, like, she got pregnant by the fucking drummer from Seven Dust.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm out.
They went and made some weird new metal babies.
Way to go. Knocking up the talent.
Cold Chamber is one of those bands who put out one solid record.
I met them. That, you know, like, when they were touring with that. Ozfest 98 at the Rubber Bowl.
Yes.
They were there. I talked to them backstage. And that was like the one thing I said, dude, you guys are awesome, man. Don't ever change, dude. Don't ever change. And they're like, we won't. And the next album was just shit. Totally changed. You didn't listen to me. I told you right to your face. And you acknowledged what I said. I thought you understood what I was saying. I thought you heard me. You fucking said you wouldn't do it. But then here you are. You fucking changed. And now it sucks.
They did that thing that's my least favorite thing that any hard rock, metal, any musician period does. So he wrote a song for his son.
Did he?
Yeah. Like, there was a song, I believe
Clapton
it was...
Clapton did that.
Motley Crue did that. You remember Motley Crue when they got Vince Neil back and they had the Generation Swine record? Tommy Lee made a song for his little porn baby that him and Gary Anderson made called Brandon. He's like, Brandon, I want to let you know... You're my son, and I love you.
Those tears into my eyes so well. I've been waiting for this day so long. Brandon, I love you. You are the one.
I totally don't deny you.
Run around and chase the clowns. How they want you to be yourself. Forget me not, you're all I've got. As you can see, you are the one, Brandon, my son.
You're my fucking son, dude.
But wait!
Dish boy.
Your mother gave birth to you with love and insight. She had candlelight and songs of life. Brandon, I love you. I love her. She is your mom. Love is ours, nobody else.
Blood test to tell me that you're mine. Your mama had a lot of penis all up in her vagina. Ooh.
Cole Chamber had a song called Tyler's Song on the second one, and like the whole thing was just like, he's like, hey son, I want to let you know, if kids are mean to you, like, don't take it, it's gonna be okay. And it's like, that's fucking pathetic, man. You guys are a metal band, you're Cole Chamber. The fuck you writing these sappy little shit songs? Why don't you talk to your kid on your own time, you fuck? But yeah, I love you, Dez. sorry. I just get mad about that stuff. Sorry, Dez. I didn't mean to call you a fuck.
But parenting should be for parenting, not should for be. Your fucking music.
They also they covered Peter Gabriel's Shock the Monkey with Ozzy.
Shock the Monkey.
They used Ozzy because Sharon was their manager, so they had the in with Ozzy Osbourne right away, and they used Ozzy to do the shitty hook of that overrated Peter Gabriel song.
Overrated?
Overrated! That's one
of the best songs. I love that fucking video. That video was creepy as shit to me when I was a kid. Couldn't stop watching it.
He should have never left Genesis. Same goes to you, Phil Collins.
Didn't they reunite this year?
Don't they reunite like every year?
Nah, I don't know.
I can't dance.
I think like Genesis 4, but it wasn't like... with Phil Collins or anything. I think Phil Collins was going to reunite with him this time.
Phil Collins. That's a badass dude. He's a great drummer.
He's a great drummer.
It's like the most famous Phil in the world.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Hold on.
And that song was supposedly about him watching somebody let somebody drown, and he knows who did it. And then they had like this setup to where like the dude won some tickets off a radio station and then showed up at the show, and they had him in the front row, and like he's all like telling him and shit, like, I know what you did and shit. But then when he says hold on, that's like him telling the cops, like, not yet, like, don't arrest him yet, hold on, just don't arrest him yet, hold on.
It's like Detroit Rock City. It's another one of those story songs. It's like, guy gets up, he's feeling good, he has to go to the rock show, but some shit's about to go down. He's gonna die!
He's about to pop
he's
off!
He's gonna die! Stories.
Mm.
Phil Collins. But still, you shouldn't have used fucking Ozzy Osbourne to sing Peter Gabriel. If you had the opportunity to get Ozzy Osbourne to do a song with you, wouldn't you want to like come up with like, I'd be like, let's write a song together. Let's do something. Like, let me write your parts for you. Like, you sing my lyrics, something. You're Ozzy fucking Osbourne. Mount Rushmore of music.
Yeah, I mean, at least they got to do something with him.
Shock the Monkey.
Yeah, it was bad.
Shitty. But again, they still got to do something with him. Even if I did a shitty song with Ozzy Osbourne, I still did a song with Ozzy Osbourne. Fuck you done. Not a song with Ozzy.
Ozzy, you got me there.
Bam!
Damn.
Bam!
Well, as I said, I like what happened with Dez. I like that Dez. Props to Dez for being able to escape that image.
And, yeah, he did it well. I didn't think he was gonna be able to do it.
I didn't think he'd be able to do it at all.
Then he tore the super joint, and I was like, "Wow,
well,
that's kind of legit."
Yeah, you don't see the singer from Orgy doing that,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that guy's a giant pussy, by the way.
The guy from Orgy?
Giant pussy, by the way.
I can imagine.
He fucking acts like the fucking tough guy of all tough guys. Like, that when they played The Outpost, that dude, the singer from Orgy.
Okay.
Right, when they played and shit, he was like shadow boxing before he was going on stage.
What?
Right next to me. Like, he's like throwing punches in the air and shit, like, hoo, 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 like warming up. Hoo, hoo. I'm tough, dude. Hoo, 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 hoo. And I'm sitting there watching him. I'm like, I would fucking stick you right in your mouth. Like, all those fucking punches look like shit. I would throw one straight, bah, and swell your lips up and call it a fucking night.
Karate.
Bah! People think you gotta knock people out. Everybody always goes for that knockout shit. I'm like, you should try just tagging people.
Yeah.
They don't like it. They don't like it. Hit a motherfucker in the eye. Bah! They're like, oh, my eye. Hit him in the mouth. Bah! Lips all fucking busted and swelling up. That shit hurts. Now you're fucking throbbing. Bah! Nose. Now you can't see and shit. Now you're awake for all that. You got to feel all that shit. For whatever reason, people only want to put people to sleep and then fuck them up. And I'm like, why don't you fuck them up when they're awake so they know that shit's happening? Don't fucking knock them out and then kick them in the face a bunch of times like a pussy. Right. Like, just fucking beat them the fuck up and let them feel all that. It sucks getting pieced up. My lips getting punched in the mouth, that is the worst thing. Worst thing. I'd rather have my nose broke. I would rather have my fucking nose broke than get punched in the lips. I hate it. I hate it. It's the worst. And I've had my fucking lips swell up to my nose. I've been busted open. I had fucking the Korn concert back in the day, dude. And Korn played the Jar. Mm-hmm. I got my tongue ring jammed up into my gums.
Oh, shit. But,
right. I got blasted in the mouth with an elbow. It jammed my fucking tongue ring up into my gums somehow. Like, however, I was like Michael Jordan, apparently.
Yeah,
like, while I was through the pit, you know what I mean? That's what happened, though, dude. And I had to, like, plug that bitch out. But it swelled my fucking lip up to my nose, dude.
Jesus.
It sucked. Tooth, like, went in my lip. You know? Like, not through my lip, but in my lip. Yeah. I hate my lips getting fucked up. I just told everybody my weakness. Everybody knows my kryptonite now. Don't hit me in the fucking lips or the gut. If you're gonna fight me, be nice.
And I say, right about now, you are rocking with the best. Can I get a hit?
Thank you. Well, it's always good to see you.
It's always great to see you, man.
I love getting out here. It'll happen on a regular. Now that because I'm getting a new car,
yes.
So I'll have a new ride.
Yeah. So you know,
so we're gonna get back on fucking track with you people.
It's been a summer, and it hasn't been the most pleasant of summers. it's been a rough one
been
for
a
your boys.
Hard fucking earned summer.
So woo.
That's fine,
but we're getting through it.
Unlike some other people,
we keep fucking going.
We face it.
It's great to see you.
It is. But it is that time.
It is. Oh!
We have come to that time.
Oh.
Our time, our favorite time, your favorite time, the people's favorite time.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Now what's the time?
It's time to get ill.
So what's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Now what's the time?
Badass Band of the Week!
Oh my gosh, this is the best!
It's the best!
Who we got? Who we got this week? Now, because it's not... Now, we are a local. We always do locals.
We support local.
This band this week...
There's somebody else's local.
They're like 20% local.
20%?
20% local.
That's all you need?
Right. The other 80%? Jersey. Because this band's from fucking Jersey.
We're talking about a band called...
Cognitive. Yeah! Fucking absolute... Destroying death metal.
Destroy
it! Destroys everything. Your face melts it, rips it off. Just
find me a heavier band. They're as heavy as the heaviest.
They're as heavy as the heaviest. Armin Karoglin, former badass band of the week, Apocalyptic Fist of the Black Death, Mr.
Yes.
V. Karoglin.
Yeah.
The guitar player from them.
They're related.
Right. This is Armin Karoglin is V's older brother and one of the sickest fucking drummers around. He was just featured in Sick Drummer Magazine.
Yeah.
They did a whole fucking article about him, which was super cool.
The video, we'll put it up on our, is it already on our Facebook?
It's not. We'll put it up today.
We'll put it up.
Yeah. It's, it's a playthrough.
Yeah.
Armin's stick work, like, just the way his dude's fucking sick. I understand why that magazine chose that dude to do a fucking article about. He's fucking brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, and you'll be able to hear it on the song that we play at the end of the show.
So, yeah, Armin Karolin, the drummer from fucking Cognitive, is a local dude. He's a fucking Akron cat, played in fucking Fully Consumed, Shotgun Sodomy. There was another fucking band that he played with way back in the day, like the Hate Theory days, that I can't fucking remember right now, and
gonna call me up tonight at midnight, go, I got it!
I fucking remember! After I email fucking 12 people to figure it out.
Yeah, they remind me a lot of Fully Consumed, like, where it's not just death metal, it's not just blast beaty, it's way more technical than that. Like, it's a roller coaster of fucking heavy, man.
Yeah. He has a better beard than I do.
Ooh.
And what makes his beard better is the fact that he has the same color, right? Because that's what sets my shit apart from most other beards, is my color. And Armin has that. And it's way bigger than mine.
Oh, shit.
And he's got just a lion's mane of Viking hair that he has to, like, jam up into fucking hats and shit. And
fucking... So he's got a full head of hair.
He's loaded with testosterone.
He's Bizarro Grant. He's
fucking, it's crazy. He's better than me, Grant. He's better than me. I love him. I love Armin. I really do. He's a fucking sweetheart. Like, if you ever talk to him, he's all about puppies and shit.
Right.
Puppies and kittens and bunnies and cuddling and fucking sweetheart.
The story, according to their Facebook, and you can find him on Facebook at Cognitive NJ for New Jersey. The story, as they write it in their own words, Cognitive's brand of brutal technical death metal combines blazing riffs with skull-crushing rhythms and all the brutal grooves your feeble mind can handle. While I appreciate that, I wouldn't say it's a feeble mind, but, like, you know, hey,
it's your guys' story. It's your story.
Maybe they're right.
I mean, you know.
Maybe they're right.
They know.
Because I'm going to say it's more than my feeble mind can handle.
Yeah, it says they're from South Jersey and Philly. Fucking Philly. I think that's where Armin lives, is over in Philly. He moved over there a long time ago. I think he tattoos over there. He's also a tattoo artist. He used to tattoo at La Rocks down in Arlington.
I remember La Rocks.
Yeah.
Gonna go get my piercings down at La Rocks.
Gonna get pierced at La Rocks.
Gonna get pierced down there at the La Rocks.
That was the place to go for piercings back in the day.
It was. Like,
if you wanted to go, now it's not. That's not the place to go for piercings.
Nope.
No.
Assassin Tattoo Studio located. You can check out Cognitive. You can check them. Check out their music. Go get their music on Bandcamp. CognitiveNewJersey.bandcamp.com. Once again, that's CognitiveNewJersey.bandcamp.com. They got multiple records over there that they've put out over the past few years. You can find songs like "Cut the Fuck Up" and "Blood Hungry." Regurgitated Existence is one of my favorite ones. Just saying it. Regurgitated Existence. It's just like, whatever. It's just regurgitated. Yeah. That's what existence is. Just bullshit's over and over and over. I'm sure they don't talk like that in band practice. I'm sure that's not their tone.
Their singer's name is Jarrell.
Jarrell?
Yeah. You know?
Does he have a son?
The son of Jarrell?
Yeah.
That's another band.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's also Superman.
I know, right? Their fucking vocalist is Superman's dad.
Superman's dad. You got Rob Wharton on guitars, Harry Lannan, Ian Bainbridge
on bass.
So all you dudes get mad props.
Yeah, I haven't seen you guys since the last time you came down and played at the Outpost, and I can't even remember what show that was. It might have been the Blackout Cookout. Last year,
is coming up
September something. I got to get the date for that. I'll let everybody know what's going on with that next week. But yeah, last time I seen these guys, it was at the Outpost, and Armin just, like, all I could talk about is his form, right? Because he makes it. He's like a Matt Boehner. He's like a Matt Boehner.
I love Boehner.
As to where, like, when you watch Boehner play, it's effortless.
Right.
Right. No expression on his face. No real movement other than his arms and his legs. That's Armin, you know, just fucking crushing shit.
mean, I think you guys are about to hear it right now.
Yeah! So we're going to play you out with some Cognitive.
Peace the fuck out.
A well-deserved badass band of the week. We'll be talking to you next time. My name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
Y'all have a lovely week.
I love you.
Show me what you got. What you got? Good job.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.